Podtacular, episode 340, Bulletin Update for January 24th, 2013. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
I'm another guest host again, Greg Lewis.
Yay! Well, hopefully you'll be coming back as co-host, but we'll see in time. This time we were talking about the bulletin and a couple other things. There's some stuff in there that got announced, I think some of which some very competitive people will like. And as well as some other griffball-like people would like as well.
Sure, we'll talk about the competitive things. I'm here to... Maybe, I don't know, I have some doubts, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I was talking to someone yesterday about the whole ranking system and then the time it was coming out. And they had the feeling that it's kind of killing, or it's going to kill out some of the followers for Halo just because of how late it's coming out and all that stuff. But
there's going to be one other main problem. I don't really see this problem, but I think it could potentially be a problem. But we'll see. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. So, first things first, the bulletin, as of this recording, actually got released yesterday. So we're trying to get back on track. So hopefully from now on, we will be giving you the status of the bulletins a day or two after they're out instead of a full week later.
Yay!
Figured you guys might like that a little bit better. So
I hate that idea, actually. It's the worst idea ever.
Well, you know what? I'm running the show, so...
Why would you make it convenient for people? Come on. What is this?
I don't know.
I'm kidding.
All right. So if you guys haven't read this week's bulletin, definitely go over and check it out at halowaypoint.com. The first section that they talked about is just kind of, I guess, BS Angel reminiscing about, like, back in the glory days of Halo Combat Evolved, and then talking about camping. So there are some camping quotes on there, and I think some of them are kind of funny.
Yeah.
Some of them are a little cheesy, but I figured with this in the bulletin, might as well go ahead and read them off. And this is the first section of the bulletin, so...
I like the crouch button one. That one's funny. And the DMR one is hilarious.
Okay, well, we're going to read them all off anyways. Okay. So these are, you may be a camper if... We used to actually do these way back when, didn't we? We used to have a...
I wouldn't say it was like... I think it was more like a spontaneous thing. I don't think it was...
Or, well, didn't we have like a segment where people could send in stuff like, you know you play too much Halo, win?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a thing back then?
Yes. This is a rendition of that, but you may be a camper if...
And I think I remember one of them during the podcast where there was a Yo Mama joke where it was, your mom is so fat that... The Halo's a belt, or something like that. Something like that. Anyways.
Sorry if your mom is that big. I'm sorry.
Oh, that wasn't Greg's sense. Words, not mine. Send your hate mail to glewis@botdecker.com. Anywho, the first one we have here is, you may be a camper if the incineration cannon is your favorite weapon because of its above average marshmallow roasting capabilities.
Oh, yeah. Some s'mores up in here.
I like s'mores.
S'mores.
And this is the perfect season to get them, too. I should go to the store and get some. Man. You know, it actually snowed last night as of this recording, and I had no idea it was going to snow because the forecast said it was going to snow tomorrow.
Did it snow in Tulsa?
I don't know. I'm not in Tulsa anymore.
No, I mean, not yesterday. I mean, did it when you lived there?
Oh, yeah. It snowed just about every winter except for, like, one of them. I think it barely snowed any.
So, like, you're getting, like, full-blown snow now, right?
Well, the snow that I had yesterday was just kind of like flurries a bit. It wasn't too much, like maybe an inch of snow. So it wasn't too much.
Okay.
But it's still snow, so I'm happy. I saw snow up here, and I'm frankly a little surprised on how not much snow there is. I was expecting, being in the Northeast Coast, I would be seeing a lot more snow during the winter months.
You're not north. Come on. You're in Virginia. You're mid. Come on.
I'm in Maryland, dude.
Well, Maryland's right next to Virginia, right?
Yeah. Okay. I consider the Middle East more like North Carolina.
I consider it Iran. I'm just kidding.
Middle East, United States.
Just kidding. I'm just joking. Get on with the camper stuff.
Getting on with the camper stuff.
What is this? We're talking about Pokemon. God.
Well, do you want to alternate? You want to read the second one? I'll do odds.
You may be a camper if you prefer to ordnance drop consists of a tent, a sleeping bag, and a portable stove.
That would be freaking cool.
That would be awesome.
That would make a perfect machinima, too.
That would go very well with my marshmallows.
You may be a camper if you think DMR stands for doesn't matter really, because
She forgot the.
Okay, so I say because with the way you play the game, it doesn't really matter.
Let's be honest. If you're a camper, you're probably not using the DMR.
No, probably not. You're probably using the shotgun or a sword or the frustrating, ever so antagonizing bolt shot.
Oh, man. I love the bolt shot. Anyway, You may be a camper if the crouch button is always the first button to get worn out on your controller. I'm looking at you, Fumo. Looking at you.
Wait. What does Fumo have to do with this?
I'm just kidding. I always single him out because he's a good sport.
Okay. And actually, the crouch button is different now because it used to be left stick, and now it's the B button.
Well, I mean, if you use the Defiant.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You may be a camper if you have more base and flag defense medals than all your friends combined.
Mm. That would indicate a camper if I ever seen one.
That would definitely indicate a camper. Although I get quite a few of them too. I don't know if I have like more than all my friends combined, but
I probably have more captures than defense medals. But I mean, I guess it's easier.
It's easy to pick up defense medals because you just have to stand around. Like if you kill someone, even if it's like long range and you're standing near your base or flag, it counts as a defense medal. So,
I mean, I did get a lot of base defenses in Dominion. So
yeah, well, you're gonna That's just kind of the nature of the beast, though.
Yeah. You may be a camper if you think active camo should be buffed.
You skipped one, but okay.
Oh, whatever.
That's fine. I'll fill in.
I just wanted to read that one because I liked it.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's kind of funny, though.
I don't like the next one.
Especially with the active camo bug that was there for a while, where if you had camo activated and then you crouched, the blue dots wouldn't even show up on the radar, so you were practically invisible on radar and in person. Yeah, it kind of sucked.
I don't know. Maybe if you were a camper, you didn't think it sucked.
Well,
sucks
that, that's why, yeah, we're saying if you're a camper. You may be a camper if you wish stationary was a selectable status on Facebook.
What is a status?
I don't get selectable status. You just type in your status.
Yeah.
So that one's, I don't think that's funny.
She must have some inside information we don't know about. Something else. I think BS Angel is secretly working for Facebook. I think she knows what's happening there. You may be a camper if you're offended when people call it a legit strategy, because it's more than that. It's an entire way of life.
Wow.
I'd imagine that she's like the first person waiting out for like the iPad.
I think HLG is kind of loving this right now.
But she probably doesn't actually buy the iPad. She just likes to sit out there with everybody because they're camping, you know?
Oh, ha, ha, ha. Wow. Okay. You may be a camper if, when anyone asks how your last game went, you say, it was intense, and then laugh hysterically.
Oh, man. Look at that.
Intense, intense. Ha, ha. I see what she did there. It was intense. Yeah.
You may be a camper if you read this entire list while you were mid-game and your position still has not been discovered.
That one's good. Okay, so those are 10 ways to know if you are a camper, and thankfully I do not fit into any one of those categories.
Though, for me, the ordnance drop could consist of a tent, a sleeping bag, and a portable stove, because I never use ordnance drops. So, I could see
it's a preference. It's not saying if it could. It's a preference.
Oh, yeah, you preferred. My bad.
Yeah. So, quick cut. You're breathing into your mic a lot again.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
You're going.
Because I'm laughing. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just don't have it as close to your mic because I can't really edit those out.
Easily. I know. I'm sorry. So,
just letting you know. Okay.
So the Sorry. Oops.
Yeah. Anyways. So the next thing on the list is the matchmaking playlist update that we're going to get for next week, and that is going to be Griffball. So for all you Griffball fans out there, the playlist is coming, and it is coming this next Monday, which is going to be the 28th of January.
I feel kind of weird that you skipped over that this part was written by Bravo.
We should address that, because I don't think we've even addressed that on the actual podcast.
Yes. I don't think
so. Friend Bravo, who used to be an MLG commentator and used to play competitive Halo.
He's been on the show.
He has been on the show a few times. He is now working for 343.
Yay, good job, man.
So congrats to you, sir. Andy, we wish you the best of luck with your engagement at 343. May the monitor spare you.
I'm glad that we got an inside man now.
I know, right?
Yeah, no, we needed one. I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, Jess has kind of been an inside person for us.
That's true.
We've known Jess for a good while.
And, you know, Shishka, I got his phone number, so we hang out at the Motel 8, you know. I don't know if you remember that joke from when we were there. I don't.
No, I do. So, yeah, so congrats to Bravo for making it out there. And from what I've heard, And talking with a few people, he actually got there in December. So he's been there for about a month now.
That's a good Christmas present.
Yeah, talk about that.
Hey, Mom, I got my dream job.
Yeah, I know, right?
Don't mind me just working my dream job here on Christmas.
He picked it up pretty quick, too. So hopefully we'll have him back on the show soon. I want him to actually do one of our multiplayer miniseries maps, so I'll have to get in touch with him soon about that. I've seen him online playing Halo a lot recently, too.
Well,
so
he's probably playing it at work.
Yeah.
We're all the people that are thinking that we got good jobs, you know, like, oh, we're making money, and blah, blah, blah. He's like, Bravo's like, I play Halo and get paid.
Yeah. He's probably, like, showing up everybody at the office, too.
Dude, I would. I wouldn't leave that place. Are you kidding me?
So much for the, our chances in like a 343 hump day or something.
Like I would,
Downhill with Bravo joining up with 343.
Oh, you mean winning?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we still got some good players. You got me, you know, just going 38-2 about every game, you know, every day.
Let's see. You're a what? Spartan rank 18? With how many games under your belt? Yeah, not that many.
Good point is that I'm 18 and I've won 18 games, so I think it's kind of a pattern here.
Sure.
Whenever I win, I rank up, you know what I mean? I've only played then. Like 20 games or something.
Yeah, once you start to play more, that'll start to slow down.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah. So moving on, yeah, like I said, the week of the 28th is going to be the Griffball playlist being added. I forget which one was being removed.
It was doubles, right? Doubles.
Team doubles.
Until the release of team doubles. Hold on.
Actually, I think the since the Infinity Challenge is ending. No, because team doubles is ending on February 4th.
Yeah. Okay. Must
so I think because the Infinity Challenge is ending this week, it's that place is going out and Griffball is coming in.
No.
So for everyone that was involved with the Infinity Challenge, either War Games or Spartan Ops, those playlists are going to go bye-bye. Well, the War Games one is the Spartan Ops is just like default matchmaking. If you were playing in it, you were entered into this thing automatically.
Yeah.
So congrats to whoever made the top 50 or whatever, and congrats to the winner. You don't have a life.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. I mean,
you're just jealous.
I mean, I could care less about the Raptor. I would care a lot more about having a playing a part in a future Halo title. That would be a lot more appealing to me personally.
You can tell your grandkids, that's me. Yeah. Did you know that John 117 is actually Dustin Pettigrew?
No, that's Steve
Downs. How cool would that be if he took us? I mean, you're as tall as him.
What as tall as who?
As John?
No, I'm not.
How tall are you? You're like 6 foot.
6'5", dude.
Oh, okay. You just look like
they're over 7 feet tall.
You look like you're the Jolly Green Giant every time I've seen you. You are the tallest person in the room whenever you are there, typically, right?
Sometimes. There's some people I know at work that are actually taller than me.
You mean work at 3 for 3 or work at your job?
No, work at my job.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, I haven't met the whole staff at 3 for 3. Most of them are short. Especially Jessica, especially Kevin Franklin.
I mean, they're all really tall. You guys are very beautiful people. I'm just saying.
No, being short's all right. I have to rub it in Jessica's nose every time I visit her. I mean, it's like I'm contractually obligated to just show her how short she really is.
Was that in your NDA agreement?
Maybe. I'm not telling. I can't tell.
Yeah, it's NDA. I mean, it's classified.
Yeah, exactly.
G14, you know.
Do what?
It's from Rush Hour.
Oh, I haven't seen those in a while.
Okay.
Sorry. Anywho, with the Griffball playlist coming out next week, we also have Spartan Ops Episode 7.
Ooh.
So that will be coming out as well. I actually haven't played Episode 6 yet because I've been working on a document, which I actually just finished about an hour ago, and I will actually be posting this up on the website soon, but it is a 28-page document of analysis and walkthrough for the first 5 episodes of Spartan Ops Season 1. And I'm going to continue and expand it to the rest of the episodes for the season.
It's actually a required reading for anybody at our website. There will be a test.
It's going to be required reading in order to post anywhere on any of our comments for podcasts or whatever, or the forums.
Correct. Correct.
That's some heavy reading, dude.
That's going to be our security question when you try to sign up for the new forums.
It's going to be a test. Did you read to the end of the document? Yes. How many E's and S's in there? A lot. So did you read it? Yes.
How many E's and S's are there? A lot. That's a perfect answer.
So I'll have that up in a few days. I just finished the first complete draft tonight, so I still need to read over it to make sure it at least sounds okay and flows right. And then maybe 3 for 3 will be kind enough to post it on their site and share it out to people. So I've put a lot of time and effort into this. I hope you guys enjoy it. There's all the achievements in there as well. There's the RVB Easter eggs where they are, and it's a hefty thing. So if you look at how many chapters there are, which there are 25 chapters in the current or the first 5 episodes of Spartan Ops, and it's 28 pages. So with a title page, that's almost 1 page per episode.
That's cray.
So it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you guys enjoy it. I'll make a post on the homepage whenever that's officially released. Moving on, 2 more specializations are going to be unlocked, and they are Engineer and Stalker.
Yes. Stalker.
So Engineer will give you the Drop Recon Armor mod, which allows you to predict the location and time of an ordnance drop. So this is the thing that kind of gives you a 5-second head start notice on when ordnance is going to be coming in. So whenever you have, I think this works on like the resupplies on the standard random ordnance drops is when they're going to come in, you'll have an incoming notice pop up. So you know when they're actually going to drop in. That one's actually going to be my last one that I choose because I want to have my thing read Engineer when I'm done. So that's going to be the last one I choose.
I mean, that makes sense to be the last one.
Well, I mean, some people would like to have that probably.
Yeah.
The other one is Stalker, and that one gives you the Nemesis Armor mod, which puts a waypoint over the person that just killed you. And it'll actually highlight their armor out in doing kind of like the outline whenever you're going around looking for them. So
yeah.
I forget if the effect lasts the whole time you're alive or if it's just for like the first few seconds that you're spawn in.
It sounds like it's the whole time, but I don't want to say that. Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like. But this is the only one through reading them that I really just didn't like the idea of. But I didn't make the game, so
I
mean, it's awesome. That's what I meant to say.
I see. I don't care too much for it. I mean, I still use what is it? Well, right now I'm using Fast Track.
Yeah, that's what I would use first.
But if I wasn't using Fast Track, I usually use either Firepower or Grenadier. So those would be the ones that I would probably use, because the Grenadier gets you an extra grenade, and then the Firepower, I think it's a little bit more grenade damage. Or no, that's explosive, sorry.
Yeah.
So one of those two. So let's see, those are the specializations that are coming out. The Community Forge test playlist is going on. I think we said this a little bit earlier, but coming back around to it, is staying up for another week, so you will have 2 weeks to test out these maps, and then whatever the community decides on these maps coming into main matchmaking, they will get incorporated into the other playlists. And we'll go through the maps again after we go through this bulletin. We kind of touched on it a couple episodes ago, but Greg's had a chance to play them, and it's time that we actually dig a little bit deeper into the map. So you guys that haven't played them, or haven't, like, if you've played most of the maps but haven't played certain ones, then we can kind of give you a rough rundown of what some of the other ones are like.
Word. To the window!
Wow. Let's keep that outside the podcast, will we? From Kevin Franklin in the Bulletin, they have announced the competitive skill rank. This is the skill rank that everyone has been asking for, and it's going to be available, targeted to be in April 2013, so April this year. You will have a unique competitive skill rank per playlist, and your highest skill rank is going to be the one that basically is like your overall skill rank, similar how it was in Halo 3. It's 1 to 50. And, of course, when it starts out, everyone is going to be starting off with a base rank of 0.
I thought it would be 1.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, in Halo 3,
really,
you start
really
off
arguing.
As, I mean, in Halo 3, you start off as a 0 until you played one game.
I guess it's true, yeah.
So, yeah. Like, you had to play a game in order to get a rank. So, I think from conversations that I had on Twitter today, though, it's actually not visible in the game.
That is true. That's what I was going to say when you were done.
So it's only visible on Waypoint.
Correct. All of them.
Yeah, all of them. It's not just certain ones are available on the game and some of them are only available on Waypoint. It's all of them are only visible on Waypoint, which is... So how they have this worded in the bulletin, it's a little misconstrued and a little misleading when they say you will have a unique CSR visible per playlist. It's
so just, basically, when you are in matchmaking and you're matched against people, you won't know what the ranking is. Unless...
Right, which I think is... I think that's a little counterproductive.
Counter or is productive?
Counter.
Okay.
Because by the time you decide to go back and look at what the ranks were, it's already, like, the ability to judge your skill compared to someone else's based on, like, a rank or something just kind of goes out the window, because it, when you see the ranks there before the game, you can kind of tell what... how other people can rank to you, and if you are come up against a person that's lower ranked than you or higher ranked than you, then you can kind of judge yourself that way. But having to go back and look at it afterwards just seems doesn't quite seem right.
Correct.
That's just my personal opinion.
I mean, the way that I look at it is it's one of two reasons why they did it. The first one would be they can't do it. Or the second one would be because they didn't want to promote, like, deranking. And that's my two opinions. I'm not going to say that it's 100% the reason why they did or did not do it. But I would deduce that it's one or the other.
I guess that the deranking thing is possible. I guess I didn't think about that specifically.
Yeah, that's the only two things I can think of because, you know, I mean, if it's not something that's going to be, like, you're bragging about... you can just keep your top one, like let's say you could do MLG, that's your 30 or whatever, and then in everything else it doesn't even matter what you are because your top one is what it's going to be displayed as.
So let's take the battle proficiency rating, the BPR from Halo Reach. almost no one used that because no one understood how it worked. And I mean, you could, I guess, kind of go and compare yourself against other people.
Yeah.
But you had to take yourself completely out of the experience in order to do that.
Correct. I mean, it was flawed. I mean, it just, it's...
The saving grace to this would be if you have smart glass open up when you're playing Halo 4 and those ranks were visible instantly for the party that you were in for everyone there. That would be the saving grace for this. Because they're doing, I'm assuming they're doing stuff with smart glass to where they can pull lifetime stats like that. If they can put those ranks at least in the smart glass experience for Waypoint and you can have that up at the same time while you're choosing maps and then you can go in and like, oh, okay, this person's this rank and da-da-da-da-da. That would kind of be the saving grace here. Granted, not everyone has smart glass, but I think everyone has a device that can run smart glass at this point. So it's a free app that you can get from Microsoft on, I think, every platform, and it runs on just about everything.
Yeah, iPad, everything.
iPad, computer, iOS, well, iOS, Android, Windows devices. I'm not sure how lifetime like the desktop app is, but they, if they're going to do something like that, they need that kind of lifetime feedback.
Yes.
Because if it's anything that you have to go after the fact and see the ranking, it's not going to be well received.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Targeted launch date is April 2013. Note the targeted launch date because they have had a plethora of other targets that they've had for some of these other features, and they have been behind. I think a lot of people will agree with me with this when 343 chewed off or bit off a lot more than they can chew. So I would be very lenient on any quote-unquote launch date for anything that we see. So this could be April, this could be May before we see it. Depends on if what they're testing is actually able to be put out in tested for bugs or anything before getting publicly released. So take that with a grain of salt in terms of when we're actually going to get it. Let's see. There are some bug fixes that they are working on for some of the playlist updates coming down the pipeline. There's some the extraction playlist is supposed to be coming out, I believe, the week after this one.
Mm-hmm.
So they're working on some bug fixes in there before releasing that playlist. Griffball is going to be coming out this next week.
I would like to hope so.
And they're looking to keep it as a regular playlist, so hopefully there's enough people in there that it will stay as a playlist. I know I like Griffball. I know there's a lot of other people that like Griffball, and they're hardcore Griffball fans because, I mean, we have how many different Griffball communities out there? I can name at least three of them off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, we got Griffball Hub.
We have Griffball Hub. We have
Rooster Teeth, probably.
Yeah, well, Rooster Teeth doesn't officially do it anymore. It's still the AGLA, but that's run off of Griffball.net.
Mm.
And then there is the National Griffball Association. So those are the three big ones right now.
Oh, they're national now. Check that out. Legit.
So there are three of those that can list right off. There's probably a few smaller ones, but those are the three big ones that I think a lot of people know about. And that pretty much brings this week's bulletin to a close. So we had some camper jokes. We had Griffball coming into matchmaking next week. We had the announcement of competitive skill rank system coming into play, hopefully in the April timeframe, and a few other little things that we touched on. So let's move on to some of the Forge maps in the Forge Test Community playlist, or Community Forge Test playlist.
Guti gumdrops.
I don't think I saw in here where they were going to add new maps yet. I think they're still running the same maps. So this list should be the same for next week as well. But we listed out the maps on episode 238, and I'm going to go ahead and list them out again real quick. There's Shutout, which is the remake of Lockout from Halo 2, Blackout from Halo 3. There is Garrote, which is a small CTF map, which Greg somehow likes.
Yeah, I like it. Sue me. <I'm just kidding.
laughs> There is the map Simplex, which is kind of iconic to Midship, Heretic from Halo 2 and 3, and then kind of MLG amplified.
I could see Warlock
I heard some people say Warlock too.
Yeah.
There is Despair, which is kind of a playoff of Derelict and Desolation from Halo 1 and 2. It's not exactly the same, but there are elements that are very identical to it.
Yeah, it's got the same feel when you're walking around.
Yeah. And then there is Scythe and Relay. Relay being the built-in map for the Impact Forge map. So let's start out with Shutout. It is a pretty much pixel perfect as much as you can be for a Forge variant remake of the Halo 2 lockout map.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty darn close. I mean, I still think the map is too big. You know, like when you're at Elbow, it's definitely way too large. It's kind of like the same problem we had in the 3 and the Reach remakes where it just feels big, like bigger than it's supposed to, which I guess isn't bad.
I think it's because we move a little bit faster than we do or we did in Halo 2.
Yeah, I mean,
at least it feels that way. So if it still feels like most of kind of like the times it takes to get around the map is pretty identical.
Yeah, it plays the same. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the sniper's in the same spot, the BR's in the same spot, the carbine's in the same spot, shotgun, sword. Yeah,
we played SWAT last night, and everybody knew the call-outs, which was nice.
Yeah, so, everybody knew the call-outs. There's library, there's green room.
I think we beat them, like, was it like 600? They didn't even have 300 points, I think, or something like that. Like, we annihilated them.
That wasn't on that map. That was on a different map.
Okay.
That map, I think the game that we played SWAT on was 600 to 410.
But we definitely... The call-outs, I mean, like, once somebody called out, like, BR3, we were all shooting at him.
Yeah, it's like, well, he's dead. Yeah, that game was actually not one of my stronger games. I went 6-11 that game.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Wasn't one of my stronger games when we played that one.
I didn't do too good on Garrote when we were playing on it. That last match we were playing.
Garrote's anyway. An odd map. It's a really odd map.
Look, okay, so this is the reason why I like it. It's symmetrical, which I like. I don't know if it's like 100% symmetrical, but it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It just got fast, good gameplay, especially for CTF. It just made me feel like I was playing on the pit, where you had specific locations that you're spawning, and you can get different angles from. Even though on the side that we played on our – I think we played it twice, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And then we had the same side each time, and both teams we played always came from the right-hand side. We were always blue team, I think. So from blue base, everybody always came from the right-hand side. So, I mean, it was kind of – after
well, that's,
a while –
that's kind of the main point of going across is because where everyone spawns originally – that's the path you're looking down. So everyone tries to run those, and you usually kind of run back right past each other, and there's one or two that stay behind that get demolished.
Yeah. I mean, but...
The thing about this map, I think we need to kind of explain how small this map actually is.
Yeah, it is
small. You can sprint from your base to the other base, from flag to flag, in about 5 to 7 seconds.
Yes.
It's that shorter, small.
It takes you... I think you spawn in 6. When you die, you respawn in 6 seconds.
If it's flag, it's 7.
7 seconds. So it's like you can definitely feel like usually when you're waiting, it's just like whatever, you know. But this one, you definitely feel it because you can tell that you're gonna need those 7 seconds because the whole team could be in your base.
Yeah, and flag runs are fast. Like if you don't stop a flag before it,
but it's hard to cap because
hard to cap.
Yeah, because a lot of the times when you're in their base, they're in your base grabbing your flag. So it's a lot of teamwork. And I really enjoyed playing the map because it was you had to really think about, you know, I mean, it was kind of like in Halo 3, especially when you definitely had to have your slayers slaying. You had to have your support guys support, and then you'd have your flag carrier knowing what to do. It's not like what it seems like now where it's just like everybody just does random crap. But that map made me just think about Halo 3 when you had specific roles and you had to play them, and I enjoyed them.
And to each his own, I guess. I just don't like how small the map is.
Yeah, it is tiny, though.
And right off the spawn, you're engaged within 2 seconds.
Yes. Yeah.
You're engaged in the middle of the map in 2 seconds.
I personally thought blue team is more exposed than red team, maybe just because
it's perfectly symmetrical. I don't know.
It just feels that way. I don't know. I can play on both sides, but it just feels like blue team is more.
The only thing that's not symmetrical is the direction that the sun is shining, so the shadows are different. I think that's literally the only difference. And then, I mean, colors, of course, but.
I don't feel the whole drab color scheme. It seemed like it was, but it's like, you know, on Scythe, it's just really boring. Not like the gameplay is boring. It's just the way it looks. It's just, it's all gray, you know. On Garrote, it's just, I guess because it's small, because you get a lot of the colors on each side, and it just opens it up a little bit. I don't know
what colors you're talking about.
Maybe because your base is glowing blue, and your base, I mean, isn't really big.
Just the highlight colors. I mean, there's the highlight colors on Scythe too. They stand out pretty well. I mean, you can definitely tell when you're in green and yellow, and then when you're in red and blue.
I think when I played Scythe, we only played King of the Hill, so maybe that's why I didn't.
Notice. No. If we played Scythe, it was Slayer.
Yeah, we played Slayer.
Scythe only has Slayer.
I could have swore we played King of the Hill on that one.
No, we played King of the Hill on Despair.
Oh.
Yeah. Despair is the brownish map because it's on erosion.
Mm-hmm.
So let's backtrack here a little bit to a Shutout. The only game types that I've seen played on it so far is Team Slayer and SWAT.
If SWAT was okay. I mean, you can't really explore a map on SWAT because you're just always worried about getting shot. And that's the only gameplay that I have on it personally is SWAT. So I want to play Slayer, but I just haven't got it yet. I thought it was very fun. I never went in the green room, you know, the bottom where the shotgun spawns.
Yeah.
I didn't spend too much time in the library because it just doesn't seem it's as open as it. Like, you know, usually from you could
yeah,
see.
Yeah, I don't know how big the windows are. I haven't really looked over there that much.
Yeah,
I think once more people get into it and there's a little bit more decent gameplay going on in there, I think we'll start to see a little bit more utilization of it.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely see green very well, or at least top green, but you can't see sniper very well, or S1, S2, S3. You can't really see him very well.
Another thing is, I've always seen library and green room and lift room used a lot more in free for all. I've never seen them used that much in team. Flag.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty essential when in Slayer. Like you have to hold library because there's a lot of spawns.
Not quite
in green.
For team.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of spawns in green, so they're coming up. It's more of a call out thing, I think.
I guess.
I think for team that you have to hold. I mean, this is my opinion. I think you have to hold library at some point.
No, it's always the towers. Those are always the deciding factor is the towers.
Snipe 3 is pretty powerful. Especially since you get the spawn there. The sniper spawn.
So, I want to say the library and the green room and the lift room is more or less you see it used in free-for-all game types. And then one flag CTF, that's something we haven't seen yet. In anything in Halo 4. I know they have it in the game to do one flag CTF. I guess they haven't tested it out yet.
Yeah,
but
that's
another one of the popular game types that was in there for Lockout in Halo 2 was one flag CTF.
Just make an official remake of Lockout. Give me dual wielding and do one flag CTF and I won't say a word.
I mean, the dual wielding isn't a big issue.
Yeah.
One flex CTF is more important, I think.
Yeah.
Moving back to Garrote, all I've seen played on it is CTF.
That's all I've played on it.
I don't think it has a Slayer option on there.
Slayer would be too fast. I don't know if it would work out very well. Because like CTF works just because of the point of... The only reason why the map works is because of how easy it is to get the flag. And you're spending most of the time... protecting yours and trying to get them at the same time. So, I mean, like, it's not really...
With how small it is, it seems too fast.
I don't... I mean, before we started, I actually played two games on Garrote, and both of them took the entire length of time. And then the game that we played, it was...
Really?
Yeah. And then when it was us four, it wasn't even fair, because we were just annihilating. So, I think we won 5-1, and it took like 5 minutes or something when we played. It wasn't very long.
No, we won 5-0.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't very long. So, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure if we were playing other people in of equal skill, it wouldn't have been as easy. It would have been really challenging.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's so
something like Halo again.
So there are not many callouts for Garrote, but you have your base. You have base ramp, which is kind of in the back corner of your
top
base.
Mid, bottom mid. I'm pretty sure you can call them, like, you can call the two sides street. Like left street, light street.
Yeah, there's the left street and the right street behind kind of the pillars.
Yeah.
Well, so that's kind of tricky because it extends to both sides.
You could say that like you're back.
So probably like, I would say blue street would be the one, like the one that's connected to the blue base. Like if you were going back of the blue base and then going past the blue ramp to the pillars area,
yeah.
I would call that blue street, and then the other one would be red street.
Yeah. But you could have, like, blue and red spawn, maybe, because pretty much most of your spawns on each side are in the same spot.
Well, yeah, they're in the base. I mean, yeah. It's red flag, blue flag.
Well, the red plasma,
blue plasma.
Yeah. That's what I would call them. It's just grenades that spawn there. Top middle area.
There's the ramps that are on the sides, though. And then there's the main long run between the two bases.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess to visualize this, because this one's hard to visualize.
What, the map?
Yeah.
Each side has an L, and then there's like a square on top of each L.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good way to do it. So.
And then like in the very middle, there's another square, and then there's ramps going up to each L from the squares. How about that?
And then there's a big kind of pillar thing in the middle that blocks view from one base to the other.
Yeah.
I think
it's very hard to stay in your base because it's completely open from anywhere other than the middle.
And there's an entire window that exposes your flag too.
Yeah. So it's easy. Like if you grab the flag and you were trying to hide in your base and you wanted to hide next to your flag, that's terrible because there's a huge window that you can see from anywhere. And
The only thing is, I wouldn't call this a competitive map. I wouldn't see this used in a competitive scene just because it's too small.
Yeah. It's too quick.
It needs to be a little bit bigger.
Like you could finish, I could see most games like if you just figured it out like really quick, you could literally finish the game in like 4 minutes. If you just had to jump on them.
Or less, really.
Yeah. Especially if they put like rockets or something on there.
I
mean, which
I could see someone ending it in 2 minutes, really.
The kneelers works out pretty good for me on that map because it's so much a small area.
Yeah,
and there's kneeler spawns on each side.
It does all right. It does sufficiently well. I wouldn't say it's a great weapon for the map just because there are some like corners that you can hide behind pretty easily.
Yeah.
But it is it's an effective weapon. I'll say that much. I would say though that this map is not my. Is my least favorite map out of all six maps that we have in the playlist.
Really?
Yeah.
It's my most favorite, well, other than Shutout.
Really?
Yeah.
Even other than Simplex? Because Simplex is my favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Simplex is fun, too, yeah. I mean, I would just say the one that I enjoyed the most playing... I've played Garrote the most. I've probably played four games on it. Everything else I played about one or two.
I would say in order... From greatest to least of favorites would be Simplex, Shutout, Despair, Scythe and Relay. I'm not sure which one would be fourth or fifth, and then Garrote would be at the bottom.
I mean, I don't like Scythe, so...
I've had some games on there where I've done really well, and it seems like a fun map to play.
Oh, yeah, I've done pretty good on it.
it has a different flow to it. It's the flow of the map is quite random. There's definitely kind of a main area where everyone goes to, and it's flat. It's the fighting between, I believe it's yellow and, shoot, I think
it was
yellow
just,
and
it
red.
Was, I mean, it, I'm not going to say it's bad. It was just the line of sights weren't very well because you could, it was just kind of hard to kill people unless you really have your team together.
Right, and there were choke points.
Yeah, everywhere.
There were big choke points. Yeah, it's a different kind of run and gun style, but that is a little bit different than the Halo 4 that we kind of know from the maps that we already have. Mm-hmm. So in some ways I like it, in some ways I just it's like this feels weird. No, give me regular Halo 4. So we talked about Garrote, we talked about Shutout. Let's do the other Ravine map, Simplex. This is the one that kind of harkens back to Midship Heretic. For me, it feels more like Amplify than it does Onslaught.
Yeah, I could see that.
So I think it's actually more indicative of that than Onslaught. But I do see where kind of the Onslaught mentality is there. It's just there's no way you can run underneath, and it's not really a bridge. It's a platform like Amplified is in the very middle, and it has the two raised bases on either side. So I think it's more like Amplified from Halo 3 than it is Onslaught. But anyways, the map Simplex, like I said before, favorite map. It has CTF and Slayer. Have I played Slayer on it? I think I have. Yeah, I've played Slayer on it. So it flows pretty much similar to Heretic, I think. A lot of side runs, a little bit more runs through the middle, but a lot of people seem to use the right side of the map whenever you're running from one side of the base to the other. And there's an overshield in the middle that I find not many people run to. It's one of the first things to actually go pick up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because people haven't had a chance to use it as much.
Maybe.
In other maps, so they don't. Some people may just think it's whatever.
On the right side, I know there's a railgun that spawns because the railgun is my favorite weapon in the game.
Yeah, so I think it's everybody's favorite weapon.
Or at least it should be. I love that thing.
If it's not your favorite weapon, it shouldn't be.
I literally think my accuracy for that weapon is 85 to 90%.
Really?
Yeah. I love that weapon.
I suck with the sniper, so.
It's so much fun to shoot.
I like sniping with it. I don't know why I stink with the sniper now. But I do, and I find it super easy to snipe with the.
I'm pretty good with the sniper in terms of getting body shots.
Yeah,
a lot better than I was in Halo 3 and Halo Reach.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a lot better with the sniper in Halo 4 than I was in Halo Reach and Halo 3.
Maybe it's because I'm older. I'm getting old.
You're not that much older than me.
I know. I'm 24, so.
I'm 24. Well, I just turned 24, so.
I turned 24 in December.
I forgot our birthdays were that close.
Yo.
Wow. Alrighty. So, Simplex, as far as capturing the flag goes, there are some pretty quick runs that you can do as long as you have teammates to cover you. I find that the easiest path is to go off to one of the sides first and then kind of foot your way back under the middle bridges and then go up the middle to the go up to one of the side ramps if you're free from fire and then go back into the base, or if you need to go under your base and go up the back ramp.
I can see that working.
And about equally useful is just going all the way around the outside of the edges, because they actually supply a decent amount of cover. It's just that a lot of people can get grenades in corners back there too, so.
Yeah, I mean, the line of sight is pretty good from both sides, so I would probably worry more about having somebody in their base, at least somebody on one of the edges, and then maybe somebody in the middle, in the top middle.
And the reason I kind of run the flag a little bit more through the middle parts under the bridge is now I have pretty much three means of escape. I can either kind of hide around the middle pillar, I can go up the side ramp, or I can try to go underneath my base.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're coming from the side, I've jumped on a lot of people with the flag just by throwing grenades and then like having one or two shots with them with the DMR or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is moving with your team.
Yeah, that's a big thing for this map.
And keeping map control, because I could imagine, like, if you just, if you're all standing in the same spot, like, when I say moving with the team, I don't mean you're literally standing next to each other.
But you're close to each other, you're covering each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to be able to see, as a team, at least 60% of the map, if not 70% the entire time. Because there's a lot of places you can get shot from.
Yeah.
And I think
if you have good teamwork, it's definitely an easy map to dominate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you're playing with like a team of people who know what they're doing, because you can actually jump from the bottom of the map straight up to the top of your base. So if your flag carrier is pretty skilled, they could just just run. Yeah.
I don't think you can do that with a walking jump. I think maybe if you're doing a sprinting jump.
You can. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to really jump that. It's not really difficult. You can rear back a little bit and then you can jump up there.
I'll have to look at that later.
Or you can just throw it up there too.
But, no, you can't throw the flag.
Oh, I guess you can die. I don't really know if that's
okay.
I don't know if you want to do that, but yeah, I think that it's very fun.
Yeah, this is a map I would see being included in a competitive.
Definitely,
playlist.
Yeah. If there was one of these ones, if it's not Grote, which you don't think would be, definitely
it's too small.
One. Definitely.
Even if I liked Grote, it'd be too small for competitive. But yeah, sorry, I spoke of you. Simplex would be included in that competitive side.
Mm-hmm.
Despair is another kind of remake-inspired map. This one's on Erosion. Like I said before, it's kind of a throwback to Derelict and Desolation. And what was the other one that you said it looked like? Oh, wait, that was on Simplex.
I don't think I mean, like, Warlock?
Wait, that was on Simplex. Never mind.
This one kind of looks like Warlock a little bit. Because it has the middle.
Just where
you
because
can't,
of the middle
you can't
thing,
really get to it unless you have, unless you're either sprinting or if you have jetpack.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. So it does kind of have that part of Warlock in it. But from the. Just having the outer rings and then the inner kind of area, it seems more fitting to Derelict and Desolation than it does Warlock.
I think I only played King of the Hill on this map. I really don't like getting stuck at the bottom anywhere on this map because it takes a while
to get back up.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing too of where you have to go.
Well, so did you see the gravity lifts that were
the
mannequins? Yeah.
If you're totally exposed, I don't know.
Well, yeah.
But
you're totally exposed if you're up there anyways.
Well, I'm not trying to go top mid unless it's, you know, with the...
Well, no, those things don't put you top mid. They put you on the ring in the middle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't really think you're too exposed, at least from what I've been playing. You can easily drop down or move to cover I don't really know if everybody has experienced this. In my experience of playing it, I usually sit pretty far back because I use DMR. So I don't usually get in people's face very often. I find it pretty easy to maneuver and get where I need to get without being shot.
All right.
Especially if you have the sniper.
A lot of the battles that happen on this map, though, are they're the two kind of big walkways opposing each other.
Yeah.
Like the big plus sign. And those were... I think where a lot of battles happen, and that's where I've seen them happen, is those areas. Like they'll happen across map, and then if one team kind of pushes on another, the ramps that used to go down into the pits on the sides, that's kind of where another big battle scene is those areas.
Well, because when you spawn, you can run directly up there, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, most of the time I run and jump over into the inner ring, and then they go for rockets. So rockets spawn in the very middle on the top, and I usually grab those pretty quickly. And then there are two snipers that spawn, one in the green area and one in the yellow area.
Yeah, yellow area. Yeah, that's one thing I liked about this map is that it has a good variety of weapons. I only got a rocket launcher once, I think, but I use a sniper quite a bit on this map. If I had an opinion, I would probably use jetpack on this map, just because once you
do you not
once
have
you,
an opinion.
Okay, sorry, I do. I would use jetpack on this map, just because once you're at the bottom, it's really frustrating when you're down there because you can tell it like your teammates need help and you're just doing nothing when you're at the bottom except trying to get to the top. So I would definitely recommend Jetpack on this map.
Well, I use Jetpack pretty much exclusively, so yeah, that works for me.
I use camo mostly.
Another, let's see, what other weapon armor abilities would be used in here? Thruster pack, maybe.
I played a lot of King of the Hill on this, so I use camo can help a lot of people. A lot of people was using sprint. I mean, I didn't use camo in the hill. You know, it's just around the hill.
Yeah.
A lot of people were using like boost. I was actually remember the name of it.
The thruster pack. Oh, thruster pack. Okay.
Yeah.
There is a kind of a bug with this map, though. The hill in the middle is actually not tall enough, so you'll be standing in the hill, and if you're moving around, it'll actually put you in and out of the hill a lot because the hill is actually not tall enough. So that's a bug that they'll have to fix in the later version.
Did they not know that playtesting?
I don't know. Because when you stand there, it works, but when you move around, it's when it doesn't.
Whenever the hill was in the middle, I never even went to it because I didn't want to get killed. As soon as the second you go up there, you get killed.
Well, I was always there to just get time in the hill. And usually if there were rockets there, I would go run for rockets anyways, and that's where the first hill is. I'd grab rockets.
That would be the only time I would go to is for the first rocket.
Yeah. Other than that, well, I kind of use it as a transition pad sometimes too. Not a lot of time. Like, I'll usually do the ring, like, walk around the outer ring first. I think that's what a lot of people do. And then there's kind of like that plus sign that's made with all the other ones. So that's where a lot of the action happens. There's not many things that happen in the pit and then in the very middle.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah. So the, I don't know if this is just kind of like by chance this happened or if there's actually kind of a bug with the game type, but I remember a time I was doing King of the Hill on this map, and the A hill, which is that first middle one, would always be the alternate hill for every time that the hill changed.
Yeah, it always went to
that. So it happened for you too?
Yeah, every time I've played it, I think.
I don't know if that's something that's wrong with the game type or if that's something wrong with the map. I'm hoping it's something wrong with the map so they can change it. Because that's just ridiculous.
I'm not so opposed to that.
It seems a little ridiculous to me.
I like being able to know where it's going to be at next.
Well, see, I think you can do predictive hills in order like that, but having the same one be every other hill just doesn't seem quite right. Moving on to, let's do Relay. Relay is one of the built-in Forge maps, believe it or not. So most people have probably already played it if you've ventured into custom games. But for those who haven't, it's a circular map. It has a big outer ring, and then there's a lot of smaller structures and a center platform in the middle. A lot of the times I see...
Sorry, which one am I doing right now?
Relay.
Relay, okay.
So a lot of fights actually happen in the outer ring. You actually will start on the opposite sides of kind of the open area of the rings. So there's kind of four distinct areas, being a symmetrical map that's kind of split in two. Where you spawn has a bridge that goes into the middle. And then on the, like if you go another, 45 degrees, then there's actually man cannons that will boost you into the map and through these kind of tong-looking things over this middle section, and then you'll drop in the middle there. And then if you go another 45 degrees, so 90 degrees, and then there's another kind of jump-up, drop-down location from a ramp that you can get to as well. So there's lots of little in-and-out points in this outer ring, and a lot of fights usually happen in the outer ring or in areas that are further away from the middle. There are some rushes to the middle sometimes for power weapons and things like that.
It's kind of large, but this map felt like midship to me.
So I heard a lot of people say this one was more like Zealot. People got a Zealot feel with this one.
I guess that's true. I could see that. But there's nothing in the middle.
So there is a scatter shot that spawns in the middle.
Yeah. Okay. I can see where they're going with
it. So there are power weapons that spawn in the middle. And that's kind of the reason to go out there. That's one of the only reasons to go out there, is to grab those power weapons. And there are some useful strategies for kind of poking out into the middle and kind of getting better angles on enemies. Like if enemies are kind of grouped in one area, and if they're distracted by two or three other teammates around the outer ring, you can actually cut through the middle to flank them and provide cover for your teammates that way and get some easy kills.
Yeah.
So it's not like the middle is useless. It's just more of the battles are fought on the outer sides of the map.
I don't. I'm trying to figure out what customization would be the best on this map. Maybe camo or
thruster pack would be a big one for, I think, the competitive people.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
There's no real reason to use PV because it's a very open map. It's very easy to figure out where people are.
Yeah. I do see some camping, though. I mean, around the edges. But usually you don't... I mean, if they're already hiding, I mean...
I think the hard light shield would be a good one for this map.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that working.
Because there are a lot of grenades thrown in here.
I think it just slows it down too much. And I don't think you want to get... I think, in my experience, the team that's winning this is a team that's moving and constantly shooting.
Right. But there have been times where I've used the hard light shield, and I haven't used it that much, but I have pulled it out a few times where just popping it up for a second gives you just that much more effort before they start to reload or something, and then you can dash out.
Armor lock again. Here we go.
Well, no, so it's still combatable, not unlike armor lock, which it was just like, it was a pause button, where this one's more like a slow down. If you're pulling up against someone who knows what they're doing, most of the time they'll either kill you, like get a grenade into you or something, or you use that as a distraction. So you pop it up real quick, they try to throw a grenade or reload on you, and then you dart out. So it's still pretty quick gameplay.
Yeah.
It's not an all pause button. It's more like change strategy. Here I go. I'm gone now.
I just don't like the things that slow your team down, slow your progress down. I know the way you're explaining it does it, but the way that I use it personally does. I mean, this map, you could just call it Onslaught with man cannons. I don't know. And more hiding spaces in the middle, maybe. Maybe.
Doesn't quite have that feel to it.
Yeah, not exactly.
No. I think Zealot's a better comparison.
Yeah.
The final map is Scythe, and this one is an odd one. Do you know a way to really explain it without having to show someone? Because I can't really think of a decent way to explain this. It's a very asymmetrical map.
Yeah, there's nothing that... I think it's something that would be... I mean, it's kind of like Terminal, but smaller, in that there's only two areas where everybody fights at. It's both kind of in the middle, but it's like on the middle left and middle right. It's like a Terminal. Everybody was either fighting where this Wraith spawned or fighting where the other base was. It was pretty much just where the Wraith spawned. It's just kind of the same thing. Like there's a lot of side ramps that just nothing ever happens there. So that's why I would think the boost would really help out in this map, because you just need to get to the places where all the action is going. You need to help your teammates out.
It's called thruster pack.
Yeah, but I really don't see anything else that's like this. This is my least favorite.
It's low on the list. I think this one's kind of number five for me. It has a really weird game flow too. Like it's not totally unbearable, but it's just weird. You know whenever you have like a weird feeling where it's not horrible, but it just feels very, very different.
Yeah, I mean
that's what this map feels like.
It's kind of like let's say like there was a map that you've played the first time and you just were really confused because it's your first time playing it, and eventually you learned it.
Like Waterworks.
Yeah, like this is kind of the same thing, except you never really learn it, I guess. At least I haven't yet. Every time I play this map, I never know where the heck I'm at. I'm always confused.
Well, I've learned it, but every time I play, it seems like players are kind of in a different spot. The team I'm playing against has a different, completely different strategy. I mean, there are definitely some core...
Name of the game.
There are definitely some core areas of the map, but it's just a map that flows really, really strangely. I don't know. So that's the six maps. You want to rank your maps?
I'm not good with it. I mean, Scythe is my least favorite. Garrot and Sibux are my, and Shutout are my favorites.
If you had to rank them.
I would do, Garrot, if I'm saying that right.
Garrot, we don't know yet.
Simplex, Shutout, Despair, I can't remember the next one's name.
Relay.
Relay, and then Scythe.
Okay.
If I never played Scythe again, I'd be happy.
I wouldn't mind not playing it either.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't mind not playing Grove.
That's funny that my favorite one is your least favorite one. I guess it's different how we play.
Well, and Garrot rarely comes up, too. It's not a map that shows up regularly on the rotation. Or at least the 2 days I played it, it did not show up regularly on the rotation. It was one of those rare ones.
We played it twice. So.
Yeah, but when I was playing on Tuesday with a couple of people, we played, I want to say, like maybe 15 games.
Hmm.
And it showed up twice.
I think Simplex and Shutout, though, should be integrated into maps. They're definitely
Shutout and Simplex will definitely be put in the main rotation. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
Just with how they work. Despair?
The other ones are just like, you know, they're not bad, but I would play them. The only two that are like, yeah, these are really good are those two maps.
I think Relay is going to make it in primarily because A, it's a built-in map, and B, it was played at MLG Dallas. So it's gotten some exposure. So I think Relay is definitely going to be one in there too.
I hope I'm not the only one that thinks Garrot is the best one.
No, you're probably not. Weirdo. All right. So that's the maps for you guys. We'll probably do a video analysis of these two. I know Halo Council has done a very, very quick one. Talking about a few strategies and weapon spawn locations. I'm going to be doing a little bit deeper dive, so expect that video out on this weekend, so probably on Sunday. As far as content for this podcast, I think we're done. We hit the bulletin, we hit the maps. Our next show, we will probably talk about the Game of the Year stuff that we mentioned a few shows ago. I forget the categories. Where did I put? I put them somewhere. I believe there were 9, and I will make a post about them actually. Once I find the list and.
I bet you Brent says Pokemon Black and White.
These were more like console based. I think I don't know if we really considered handhelds actually when we first thought of this. But I'll post that up here when I find where I put the list, and we'll get the voting. Oh, here it is. Found the list. So
if anybody chooses Halo 4.
Well, so Halo 4 is not in any of these.
Okay. It's any game but Halo
4. We specifically chose these categories to not include Halo 4. So our categories are Best RPG, Best Open World, Best Racing, Best Art Style, Best Realistic Graphics, Best Non-Halo Shooter, Best Soundtrack, Worst Game of the Year, and Best New IP.
I mean, Best Soundtrack and Best Graphics have to be Halo 4, even if
you can't. No, we said no Halo 4 for this.
Yeah, I mean, but if you could pick it, I think it would win both.
Well, so we're making the assumption that Halo 4 is, I mean, come on, Halo 4 wins at everything, right? But just in case we didn't have
Halo 4. Halo 4 shooter, Halo 4.
Just in case we didn't have Halo 4, we're doing these categories based off of what we've played from other games and what we've seen and heard. So those are the categories. If you have any comments, definitely leave a comment in the show comments, and I will put a post in the forums here very soon after I'm done editing this thing. So with that said, thank you guys for listening to this. This has been episode 340. And thank you, Greg, for making it on the show.
No problem.
Remember, guys, you can send in any questions or comments that you have about anything that we've talked about to submissions@podtacular.com, or you can use the big green button on our homepage. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. We also have Monday Night Matchmaking that happens every Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. And we usually run for 2 to 3 hours, starting off in matchmaking, and then depending on who's left, we'll go in to do some customs. So make sure you join us for that every Monday. And there is also the survey that is still up and running. You can go to that by typing into your browser, podtacular.com/survey. And it would be very helpful if you would go over there, provide constructive criticisms, anything that you find as a problem or anything you want to praise us with about the podcast. Definitely make sure you leave comments in the parts where you can, because that is important to us. And we want to make sure we deliver the podcast that you guys are wanting to listen to. And we hope that we give you guys all the news and everything that you want to listen to in a format that you guys enjoy. With that said, we will see you next time. Keep on fragging trucks.
From the window to the wall. Jesus owns them all.
Okay, that's fine. I can roll with that.
Keep on fragging trucks.